Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be back with you. We had a wonderful retreat last weekend. It was good to get away, and you'll hear a little bit more about it in a few minutes, but it is good to be back. There was a young college man who went to a photography studio to have a picture of his girlfriend duplicated, and the owner of the store noticed the inscription on the back of the picture. It said, "My dearest Tom, I love you with all of my heart. I love you more and more each day. I will love you forever and ever. I am yours for all eternity." And it was signed Diane. P.S. If we ever break up, I want this picture back. It's like that sometimes, though. We want to put a P.S. on everything. It's like, "I love you, however." Last week in the gospel readings, there was an invitation given, and that invitation was to come and see. And Jesus calling to come and follow. And as we continue our journey through Epiphany, I want to talk a bit more about answering that call. Because sadly, we sometimes like to put conditions on our call. "I will follow the Lord, however. Lord, thank you for the direction that you have given me in my life, however." Following God involves trusting Him to carry you through whatever it is that He is calling you to do. Your job, your ministry, your marriage. All of our lessons today have to do with a calling of sorts, some with very specific consequences. Let's first look at Jonah. Jonah was a prophet of the Lord. He was one who was anointed by God to take a message to the city of Nineveh. It was plagued by sin, a huge city in its day. And God knew the hearts of these people. But He also knew the harvest was ready. So God says, "Jonah, go and give them the words that I will give you." And Jonah had this big however in his response. "I will follow you, Lord. I will be your voice to your people, Lord. However," not those people. Not those people who are so sinful. Not those people who have despised you for so long. And Jonah is essentially saying no to God. So he runs and tries to hide. And we all know the story. But it is amazing thing is, God didn't lift his hand from Jonah. He went after him. He wanted him. And look what happened after Jonah repented and finally does what he was instructed to do. The leaders and the people of this huge city listened to God, they repented, and God spared them. Imagine that. God's plan actually works. You see, when God has a plan and says, "Follow me," it's for the better that we could ever, it's far better than we could ever imagine or hope for. Look at our gospel reading today. This is a continuation of last week's reading, where Jesus continues in the process of calling his disciples. Last week you heard how Philip and Nathanael answered that call. Now Jesus comes up to Simon, later called Peter, and Andrew, and then James and John. These are divine appointments. Jesus gives one simple call, like we heard last week, "Come and follow me." And again, just like that, these guys get up and follow. They leave their boats. They left their dads behind. These were established seasoned businessmen. Probably they had workers working for them. But Jesus had something bigger for them at that moment, something that would change them and indeed change history. Because out of this divine encounter comes a call from Jesus to follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Something quickened in their hearts. Something moved in their hearts so much that they just had to go and follow Jesus. They had to know something was different here. These men and others who were called to follow Jesus would be the start of something magnificent as the church was formed. The laying of the foundation was not going to be easy. They would have to listen. They would have to learn. They would have to step out in faith and follow the call that was placed on them. They would be the first to experience the unleashing of God's Spirit into the world and would open the door for all to receive Him. Because when God poured out His Spirit on them at Pentecost, the church, the body of Christ, was born and they were empowered by God's Spirit and the call was placed on all of our lives. They were to listen and follow. God, by His Spirit, is still working in and through all who would receive Him. And right away, this presents choices because God's Spirit clashes with culture at times. When I gave my life to Christ, I knew something changed. The hardened heart through the hurts of life and the misguided ways that I was following, the lack of joy and fulfillment in my life, all that stuff kind of melted away. And although I had this tremendous inner peace and a life-changing experience, the world around me hadn't changed. So I had choices to make. Would I follow unconditionally? Or will I say, yeah, you know, this is really pretty cool. It feels great. However, Lord, I won't fit in anymore. However, Lord, I'm not strong enough in you. However, Lord, I might be ridiculed by others. However, Lord, and you fill in the blank. How do we face a culture that is radically different than the Spirit of God working in and through us? That's exactly what the church in Corinth was faced with. Last week we heard about the struggles with sexual immorality that had a hold on people. There was pagan theology, idol worship. This young church was getting pressure from two different ends. They knew the freedom that they had in Christ, but they were also being told to do this or to do that. Or this path will also lead to God as well. That's not what Jesus said. All this tension started infighting over traditions. Paul steps in and says, "Stop it." It was bad enough that the culture of Corinth was trying to pull the church into one direction, but to have to deal with infighting as well would tear them apart. That's why Paul spent so much time with the Corinthians. He was trying to get them back on track, to seek the leading of the Holy Spirit as their strength, not culture. They not only needed to hear the call of Christ, but to answer it and grow in it. That comes through a willingness to be guided by the Holy Spirit in their lives, to comfort, to encourage, to strengthen, and yes, to convict and correct when needed. Because you know what? The world hasn't changed much since the days of Corinth that we read about today. Yes, we are far better off in technology and conveniences. We have ways to share the gospel like no other age in the past. But the cultures of the world are still trying to get our attention. The lusts of the flesh, the greed that is all around us, those who would try to tell us that Jesus was just a good person or a good prophet. Some will try to just mimic Jesus rather than stepping out in faith and experiencing who Jesus is by His Spirit. But here's the good news. God is still calling His church to make a change in the world around us. We have to ask ourselves, what do we want to do with our walk in Christ? How important is our walk with Christ? What howevers do we put on God when He calls us to do something? You see, I believe that every believer has a potential to change the world in some way. It might not be a huge part of the world, but a little portions are changed. The bigger portions are changed as a result as it spreads. Whole cities have been changed by folks who are tired of being a part of the crowd and just wanted to be disciple makers for Christ. We talk a lot about church growth from time to time. When priests and other clergy get together, we usually at some point talk about growth. When finance committees get together, there's a talk about growth. And it's true, we need to grow. There's no denying that. But let me tell you something. When we speak of growth, many times we just think of things that make our parish better or bigger than the parish down the street. Or we might just think that we are okay, well, we'll be just like we are. A popular term that I heard this week at a conference I went to was, and I've used it myself, we just become keepers of the aquarium, so to speak. Having a nice facility and good programs are all important things, but not the most important thing. But true growth comes when we do what Jesus told us to do, to go after the lost, to share the love of Christ with others. And here's how that happens. It happens when we are excited about our faith. It happens when you discover how God can move in your life and change the world around you. Because when you discover the potential that you have in Christ, nothing is going to stop you from sharing that. People are going to notice. That should be great news, because they will want to have what you have. I want growth because people are searching for truth in their lives. I want people to discover the truth of the gospel that He has given us. I want people to come here to see the potential in who they can be in Christ. I want people to know that they don't have to stand back in the crowd and just watch, but to know and have a direct access to the one true God through Jesus Christ. I've seen many church surveys over the years of parishes looking for priests. None lately, and I'm not interested. But it saddens me that some that I have read that it doesn't even mention Jesus as the foundation of their faith. They're lost the vision of why they even exist, some. They're lost in the vision that Christ meant to have. And when He said, go and make disciples. What we, the body of Christ, need to realize is that God has so much more available for us. And just as He took these fishermen and changed the world around them, today He takes the attorney, the banker, the electrician, the salesman, the school teacher, the nurse, the doctor, the student, the retired, the homeless, the business person, you name it. He takes that person and transforms their lives through salvation, and they change the world around them. And then the world sees it. Do you realize the value of what God has for us through the Holy Spirit? It is priceless. It is immeasurable. But it is available to all of us. I want to share a story about the retreat that Debbie and I were on this past weekend. During the Saturday morning session, we were in a time of prayer and singing the song, God of Miracles. And folks were asked if anybody was sick. A lot of people came with sore throats and colds or getting over colds and stuff. I have to say a lot, there's a few, but they raised their hands. There was this one girl, 33 years old, raised her hand. She was developing a sore throat. So some people gathered around her and started praying for her. But what this lady, also young lady, also had was that she was blind in her left eye since birth, 33 years. She had a lazy eye as well in that eye. As she put it, her eye would just go off to the left. And people knew her, knew this. But as they were praying for her throat, she started to see light out of her left eye. She was getting prayer for one thing, and God started touching her left eye. And then she could see completely out of her left eye. 33 years blind since birth in her left eye. And it was verified by family and friends. When she went home on Monday, she saw her daughter, 10-year-old daughter, for the first time with both eyes. I want you to hear this, and you know the song. God is not dead. He is surely alive. We need to realize the potential that God has for us, and then watch the growth that will occur. Because people are hungry for truth. Just watching won't be good enough. They will want to be a part of it. That's what was passed on to the church. But I also want to caution, don't put however on what God calls you to do. Moses was asked by God to bring his people out of Egypt. Moses tried to put a lot of howevers on God. I don't speak well. I stutter. I don't know what to say. And God says, I'll be your mouth. I'll give you the words to speak. But Moses still lingered and lingered. Finally, God says, I'll give you Aaron to speak for you. God will provide a way to make it happen if we just listen. Moses was 80 years old when that happened. So don't say I'm too old to be used by God. And God always provides a way to carry out his will. He said, just listen to me. Follow my lead. God wants to use us today as well. We just have to be willing to follow the lead. I pray that each one of us would have such hunger for more of what Christ has for us. I pray that your spiritual appetite will overflow with that hunger for him. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will anoint each of you with all that he has for you. Let's get rid of the howevers in our lives. He didn't call you to be here just on Sunday. He called you to grow in him, to follow him, to be empowered by him, to be his ambassador wherever you are. Whether you're retired, whether you are working, whether you're in school, it doesn't matter. Wherever you are there with Christ, and he uses you wherever you are. And to do his bidding in the world around you. Allow him to work miracles in your life and to be used wonderfully by him. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for that girl, Lord, who has received her sight. We thank you, Father, for all that you want to do in and through your body, the church. And we are part of that body. So I pray for nativity. I pray, Lord, that you would enlighten us, that you would empower us, that you would give us that encouragement that we need to be used wherever we are, wherever we go. To say that prayer for that person that needs prayer, and we've always just sat back and said, however, I might be intruding, or whatever it might be. Lord, when a spark hits our heart, give us the encouragement to step out in faith. To be used. And I thank you, Father, that you want to use each and every person in this room for your glory. And we thank you. We give you all the honor and the glory, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.